What's up, everyone, and welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. I'm a radio host at Sports 1140 KHTK, the flagship station of your Sacramento Kings. I also work on every Kings radio broadcast with the entire crew. Today, we're going to continue the roster review from this last season, the 2017-18 season, and look forward with some of these guys as well. What can we expect from them? Will they still be on the team? Etc. Stick around because we've got a good one coming up next here on Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everyone? Welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Sorry about another late start today. Been kind of a wild week for your boy, but probably the best time of the year. I know as just a general NBA fan, I know Kings fans probably don't love it as much, but NBA playoffs is the best, especially the first round, man. It's like football Sunday every day. You got 3 to 4 games on every night. Just huge stakes. I'm loving it. It is awesome. Kings fans, I guarantee you'll get there. I promise. When, I don't know, but it's a great time of year as just a general NBA fan, not even if, you know, whether your team's in it or not, it's just fun. Anyways, back to the roster review. We did a starting five of sorts over the last couple days. Matt George joined me for the quote-unquote big three for the Kings, De'Aaron, Bogey, and Buddy, and then finished up with Scal, Willie Cauley-Stein, and now we're moving on to the bench players, and it'll be 4 different vets today and 1 rookie. And then on Friday, we'll go over the rest of the crew, rest of the squad, as they had a lot of turnover, I guess you could say, a lot of different bodies towards the end of the year. And we'll get into all of them tomorrow, but today we are going with basically the bench players. 4 vets, 1 rookie, like I said, and might as well start with the rookie, Justin Jackson. I don't know, an okay year. It's tough to say, you know, going 15 overall. He proved to be an NBA player. What level of NBA player? I'm not sure. And with the recent history of the draft classes here in Sacramento, the fact that he is an NBA player is a positive. Depending what role he'll be able to fill and, you know, other things like that, I don't know. A lot of it obviously depends on how he progresses over the summer and throughout next year also. But he was okay. What did he have? I think it was 6.7 points a game, 1.1 assists, 2.8 rebounds, 30.8% from 3, which is disappointing, especially because coming into the year, he was looked at as a shooter. That was one of the things in his draft report, you know, solid shooter, range out to 3. Obviously, it can improve. I'm sure it will improve also. But, you know, he was fine. He's a rookie. That's the other thing. I think we expect too much from rookies sometimes. And he might have been one of them because these guys are still, you know, just coming into the league, just figuring out how to live, how to be an NBA player. So it was all right. No super positives, no super negatives. I will say he was part of the young group that showed that they're not afraid in crunch time, in the big minutes in games. He did not back down. It was the Memphis game, I believe, with a wild last minute where he hit a 3 either to pull ahead or to tie it, and then Memphis goes back and Bogey hits the game winner, but that's more so because, you know, they allowed Memphis to score. It wasn't because Justin Jackson did anything wrong. He nailed a big shot late in the game in that last minute to help get them that win. So he's definitely part of that, which is a positive, just to see guys that aren't afraid of that moment. And the Kings have about 4 or 5 of them that prove that this year, which is a good thing moving forward. What I want to see from him next year and moving forward, I mentioned his assist numbers, 1.1 a game. That's pretty good for a small forward. Rebounding, I'd like to see better rebounding numbers out of him, obviously depending on the opportunities that he gets. If he's out there more, I'd like to see him use his size a little more. I mean, the guy's 6'8". pretty solid build. And at times I would see him get aggressive and really show he can get on the boards. And maybe that's his, meal ticket in the NBA, not rebounding so much, but we focus on scoring a lot. And I know this is an easy comparison to make, but, you know, in this mold of a player, I guess you could say, like an Andre Iguodala, a jack of all trades, maybe a lesser of an Andre. We'll see. Maybe he becomes a star. Who knows? But he, Justin Jackson, maybe he distributes a little more, is on the boards a little harder. Defensively, he is another one of these guys that has the build, has some of the natural attributes that you can't teach that should translate into better defense. And he was fine defensively. No, not outstanding or anything like that. I think he could get better, and hopefully that's something that he does. Obviously, like I mentioned, the shooting numbers, you'd like to see that get better. But if it doesn't, then I'd like to see other parts of his game progress. Because not everyone can be a scorer. Not everyone can go out and get buckets, and that's okay. It would be nice, but he doesn't. That doesn't have to be his game. So we'll see moving forward. But those are the things I'd like to see out of him. Just maybe expand some of the other parts of his game. Not worry so much about shooting. And then just a little more consistency and defense. But that's about it for the rook right there. And let's get into some of these vets, some of the old heads. There is no older head in the NBA than Vince Carter, the 41-year-old phenom. Half man, half amazing, half old. I'm just hating. He's awesome. As I've mentioned before, I don't know if there is another player in any sport, really, that's as beloved as him, especially in the NBA, but, I mean, any sport. You know, if anyone can think of one, hit me up on Twitter, at CTH415. I'd love to hear it, but I really can't think of one. He is beloved by every fan base. Speaking of that, any questions you guys have, anything you want to talk about on the pod, hit me up on Twitter, at CTH415. You can hit Matt George, too. I think it's at Matt George KHTK or at Matt George 1140. He's got a long one, but you can easily find us and let us know, because this pod is for you guys. This pod is for you guys. It's not, I'm not doing this to feed my ego or anything. So hit me up with what you guys want to hear, what you guys want to talk about, especially over the summer. I mean, we're gonna have plenty of time to talk about whatever you want. So hit me up. Anyways, back to the old timer VC. He was fine. I mentioned to, I think it was Jason Ross, I did the league end awards or year end awards for the Kings and for the league. And I didn't do coach of the year because they only have one coach, Dave Yeager. So he was the default winner. And Jay Ross joked that it should go to Vince Carter, which I thought was pretty hilarious. Shout out Jay Ross. But that's mostly what he was brought in for. To be a good influence, good teacher, whatever he gives you on the court is fine. Also, he, wasn't his best year, obviously, because the guy used to be a superstar, and it wasn't his best year of recent years either, where he's been coming off the bench. But, averaged 5.4, 1.2 assists, 2.6 rebounds. 34.5% from three is fine. You'll take it. Nothing great, but you're fine with it. Just fun to have him around and have him be part of the Kings, and that's part of his career, is the fact that he was a King. There's a King jersey with Vince Carter on it, It's enjoyable. Only so much to get to with him, because he was fine, he was fun, good leader, good attitude. I think another part of the positives was that he, had played for Dave Yeager before and could help, help the youngsters learn the offense and learn Yeager's tendencies and, what Yeager wants and all of that stuff. Moving forward, and I'm interested to get your guys' opinion on this. Do you want him back? And at what price do you want him back? I don't know. I'm torn. They have potentially 12 guys under contract for next year. And that's including Costa, Garrett, and Shumpert's player options. I'm assuming Shumpert will opt in for sure. That's almost 100% guaranteed that he's going to opt in. He's got, you know, an $11 million option. Thanks a lot, Cleveland. Great, great contract. Attaboy, LeBron. Temple and Kufis, I'm not too sure. I'll get to them in more in depth in just a minute. They are some of the other vets on this review here. But let's say all three opt in. You only have three roster spots, really, moving forward. And could be four, because I think Nigel Hayes is in there technically, because they have his bird rights to re-sign him. Whether they do or not, I don't know. I'll get to him tomorrow. But I'm just saying, for a minimum deal, and let's say the only person that opts in is Shumpert, and you have five roster spots, minimum deal for Vince Carter, yeah, why not? Go for it. My only problem, and let's also be honest, part of why he came here last year is because they paid him $8 million. No one else was going to pay him $8 million. And if you have to pay him that to come back, like, I wouldn't hate that. But if you're doing that, that kind of means you struck out other places and weren't able to get better players for money. You know, it means you have that money available to spend and we didn't get anyone else. So here's $8 million for Vince Carter again. That's kind of where I'm at with him. So it comes down to roster spots and money, really. But again, love the guy. We all do. So if he is back, cool. If not, I don't know. Does he go ring chasing, maybe? We'll see. It was tough for him to turn down that $8 million from the Kings last year. There's no doubt about that. So we'll see where that goes. As I mentioned, love him. We all do. But I just don't know. I don't know. The roster spot, the money, it's all tough. As you can tell, I'm torn because I can't really give you an answer. But I'll be interested to see what happens with him. And he has said, that's the other thing, he has said that he's going to play next year, that next year will probably be his last. But, I mean, we'll see. What the hell, why wouldn't he play until he can't anymore? Especially if you're getting $8 million checks. I mean, I would keep doing it. But that's just me. So shout out Vince Carter, love you, man, we all do. We'll see what happens. Another vet, and another one who actually is on the roster next year, at least contractually, that's big Zach Randolph. Z-Bo, another guy who was brought in for good money, probably better money than he could have gotten anywhere else, and because he's played for Dave Yeager, similar to Vince Carter, and can, you know, help some of the young guys figure it all out. He was a great, great character to have around, for all intents and purposes, a great teacher, leader, just a fun personality to have. You know, I remember he had that run in before the season started, and there were people who thought they should cut him, which was crazy. Especially because the run in was not as bad as some wanted to point it out to be. Anyways, it doesn't really matter because he stayed around. He was here. He had a solid year. I mean, the guy can still get it done, at the very least offensively. He ended up 14.5 points a game, 6.7 rebounds, 2.2 assists, which was impressive to me because he's never been a big assist man. I think that's the best in his career. So he's on the books for $12 million next year. That is a thing. That's happening. I don't know if they'll try and trade him, try and work out a buyout, or maybe just release him outright. I mean, we saw them do that with Matt Barnes and just eat Matt Barnes money. I don't know. There was things with Yeager that I didn't like, how he played him, that he played him at the four, just because that slows your entire team down. I think he should be getting back up 5 minutes like he did his last year in Memphis. As I said, the guy can still get it done. I was impressed he shot, 34.7% from three. So right around 35%. That is more than respectable, especially for a guy playing the four or the five. And a guy who pretty much added that to his game in the last, you know, 2 years or so. He is a defensive liability at his age. There's not a lot left in those. There's not a lot of quickness left in those legs, I'll put it that way. He was good. He was good. I think he was everything you wanted him to be as a Kings fan. Realistic expectations, Kings fans. I'm sure some others thought, you know, Z-Bo Renaissance will get us to the playoffs. But realistically, he did what you expected pretty much. And he's another one. It'll be interesting to see what happens moving forward. He is under contract, as I said. I don't know if they'll be able to trade him. You know, it could be a deal where, you know, one team, because salaries have to match in trades, you know, maybe Portland's over Myers Leonard and, you know, the salaries match up and Kings take a shot on Myers Leonard or something. I have no idea. I think trade's going to be tough. I think buyout or release is more likely, especially that contract. It's a sizable contract, but one of the benefits of that contract is the fact it's the last year, and that'll clear cap space going into next summer for the team, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, what I want to see next year out of him, he has no control over it, but I'd like to see him play some backup five. And just some of the same stuff. I mean, I think he was solid. He was overall solid as a leader, as a locker room presence, as a person. I mean, I don't know if that guy's ever really had a bad day. And one nice thing that he did bring to this team that, not that they don't have it, but it's tough to come in as a rookie and have it, or a second-year player, but just toughness, man. Just some grit, some toughness. You're not going to mess with Z-Bo. You are not going to mess with Z-Bo at all. And that was a nice thing that he brought. And, you know, if he's still with the team next year, that's something else he can bring again. Another guy that I like a lot, but as far as on the court, I just don't know what else he has left. I think coming off the bench would suit him best moving forward. Because also, if he's coming off the bench, hopefully that means that either Scal took a step forward or they're able to get a guy at the four who is younger, better, whatever. Aaron Gordon, as I've said, I think every podcast I've ever done, Aaron Gordon to Sacramento train. Let's go. So that was Z-Bo. Love the guy. Hope he's back. Maybe. I don't know. Again, I'm torn. I'm torn on all of these guys, and you're gonna hear that in my voice for the next two also. But as you heard, so Justin Jackson, we'll see what he can do. Vince Carter, torn on if they bring him back, just because that means, you know, they probably didn't do great elsewhere. Z-Bo, we'll see, because he is under contract. And then we're going to move on to two other vets that have player options. So it gets a little trickier coming up. Would love to hear your guys' opinion on it, because it's going to be tough decisions for these guys. I know that. Shump, as I mentioned, with his player option, he's going to opt in. He's going to opt in. The next two, I don't know. And that's Costa and Garrett Temple. Coming up next here on the Locked On Kings podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Welcome back to Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Just went over a couple vets and one rookie. And how they performed last season and how they will perform moving forward. And the next two I want to get to are some more veterans. And these are probably the two toughest ones because they have player options and I'm not too sure what they're going to do. Let's start with GT500, Garrett Temple. Garrett Temple, he had a fine year. I was pretty pleased with his play. You know, 8.4 points a game, 2.3 rebounds, 2 assists. He's just a good player, all-around good player. He's got an $8 million option next year, player option, so it's up to him whether he's back or not. And one of the things that I was, I guess you could say, surprised about looking at his numbers, he shot 38% from three over the last 2 years. And that's not, you know, because he only took 40 of them. The guy's, he's 171 for 447. Like, that's legit. That is real. That's not any inflated numbers. The guy has been a knockdown three-point shooter for the last 2 years. And as we know, very good defensively, about 6'6", can guard multiple positions. You can play him at the two or the three. Love his effort. He's just got a very interesting game and kind of a game that is coveted around the league, especially some of these better teams. You know, you're telling me he wouldn't fit in Houston or Golden State or wherever LeBron ends up. Just the 3 and D guy that is legit 3 and D. I feel like 3-and-D is used for a lot of guys that can't shoot. Garrett Temple can shoot. Like I said, 38% from three over the last 2 years is legit. So I think there's going to be some interest in him. I don't know money-wise, though. That's the only thing. I don't think he's going to get anything close to $8 million a year. There's just not a lot of money to be spent out there this offseason. And he's not going to be able to capitalize on his good play over the last 2 years. You know, he's scheduled to make $8 million, like I said, for a player option. How much more than the minimum would he get out on the free agent market? Maybe get $3 million a year, $4 million a year, something like that for 2 years, tops. It also depends where you want to go. You know, we saw Luke Richard and Bamute go to Houston, and he's been great for them. Just another 3-and-D guy, a legit 3-and-D guy for them. He signed for the minimum. You know, it's tough out there. It's tough out there. So, I don't know. I never like to count anyone else's money, get in their pockets, so to speak. But if I was Garrett Temple, I'd opt in and take the money and then see if the Kings want to try and trade him or something. But again, he's another guy that is a great personality, great locker room leader, just a great guy all around. I mean, anywhere he goes, he's going to be a huge benefit to whatever community he's a part of, as we've seen with what he's done here in Sacramento. But it's tough. It's a tough decision for him and for the Kings. I don't know what the Kings would prefer. You know, do the Kings want him back, or are they hoping that, you know, he opts out to clear that cap space and maybe they can go get someone else? I don't know. I don't know. But him, Zebo, and the next guy, Costa, I think are all guys who could be solid to big contributors on, you know, playoff / contending teams. Is that what they want? You know, it's just, it's tough. It's really up in the air with these guys. It really is. So I'm really interested to see what happens. To me, what him and what Garrett Temple and Costa decide to do this offseason and next year is one of the biggest, you know, storylines, because it could clear up, you know, $17 million in cap space if they opt out. Or you get two solid players back, and that's fine also. Or, you know, you get two solid players back and you look to move them. I don't know. There's a lot going on, a lot up in the air with these guys. But as I said, Garrett Temple's a good player. If he comes back, I'd just like to see more of the same. I'd like to see a three-year run where he's shooting at 38% from three and playing solid defense and, you know, showing his good vision. He's just an all-around good player, which is why I think he'll be coveted, but not for big money, just because the money's not out there. You know, Luke Richard and Bamute was coveted, but he still only got a minimum deal. So I just don't know. Unless it's one of these things where, like, when Langston Galloway opted out, I did not think he would, but he knew that he was going to get a solid deal in Detroit. You know, he opts out from, I think, $6 or $7 million with the Kings, which I thought was crazy, and then he signs a three-year, $21 million deal with Detroit. Him or his agent or whoever obviously knew that that was on the table and that he was going to be able to get that. So unless there's something like that, some backdoor, backroom dealings where Garrett knows he's going to sign for big money, it'll just be interesting to see, because it's either come back to the Kings or maybe go ring chase for less money, which I hate that the term ring chase has a negative connotation. How about go contribute on a good team? You know, that sounds better. So you are listening to Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. We got Costa Kufas coming up next, so stick around. Welcome back to Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton, doing roster reviews, end of the year roster review. And the last one for today is my man, Costa Kufas, K-Squared. I am a big fan of his, and I know it's kind of funny that I'm such a fan of his because, you know, he's a role player. He's just a role player, but I think for the money that he's gotten paid throughout his career and what he can bring to a team, I think he's undervalued. He's another guy, just like Garrett Temple, that I think could be a, you know, big contributor on a contending team or, you know, a playoff team. You know, the Warriors are looking for a starting center for the last 3 years. You know, if Costa Kufas wanted to go take the minimum or something close to that, he would, you know, be their starter, and he'd be great for him. Houston would love to have him as their backup five, you know. And like I said, wherever LeBron goes, I'm sure Costa would be able to fit perfectly. He's similar to Garrett in that he's just a solid all-around player. Good at everything, great at nothing, which, you know, is not an insult. Those players are coveted in today's NBA. He had a solid year with his opportunities. You know, 6.7 points, 6.6 rebounds, 1.2 assists, which is another positive. Like I mentioned with Zebo, I think that's his highest assist number in his career. So showing off some of that, you know, basketball IQ and solid passing. You know, I know some Kings fans get upset with his little flip shot, but when it's falling, it's all good. He's just a solid player, good screen setter, tough guy, good rebounder, can finish around the rim when not through a ton of traffic, but he's a solid player, and he's another guy that has a player option, a 8-point-something million-dollar player option, 8-plus. And as much as I like him, same thing with Garrett, I don't know if that money's going to be out there on the free agent market for him. I think it's a similar situation with those two. I know Matt George, when we did, I was talking to him the other day, and he mentioned, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they try and go and cash in. I don't know if the cash is out there to be cashed in on, especially for role players, who I think are solid, no question. But you can't really, I just don't think it's out there for them. I think, if anything, it's either opt in or go sign minimum deals with, you know, better teams or close to minimum. I think he's a really good player. He's a starting caliber center for sure. Started some this year, and then Willie kind of took over, which is understandable because Willie is the future. The younger, more athletic, you know, kind of fits today's game a little better. Not that Costa is, you know, a dinosaur, but Willie just fits a little better. Costa, just solid. I mean, that's about all I can say, really. Solid. But again, like I said with Garrett, that's one of the most intriguing parts of this offseason for the Kings is what those two decide. I'm pretty sure Shumpert opts in, like I said, but if all three of them decide to leave, you got 6 roster spots wide open. Let's go find some people. If all three come back, okay, now we only have 3 and we got to be a little more selective. Again, hopefully they can get my guy Aaron Gordon. I'm going to keep bringing it up. But it's just one of the most interesting things for me because not only will those roster spots open up, the cash opens up too. So we'll see if he's back. Same thing with Garrett. Good. Happy to have him back. You got some solid players, some solid people in the locker room. And maybe you can move them. But the fact that they haven't moved either one of them yet maybe speaks to the, you know, trade offers not being great. And maybe at this point you take what you can get. But super interested to find out what happens with them. I know you are too. So that's been the, I don't know, you want to call it, you know, 6 through 10 or the bench players, whatever you want to call it. That's been our roster review for Zebo, VC, JJ, GT, and KK. As you can tell, I'm not big on saying full names. it was Vince Carter, Zach Randolph, Justin Jackson, Garrett Temple, and Costa Kufis. Thank you so much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with the rest of the roster review. And, you know, we'll go through everyone that played on the Kings, just about everyone. No, you know what? We'll do everyone. Papagiannis will be in there too, okay? Got an in-depth review on GP. Thank you so much for listening. Come back tomorrow. I will be here with the rest of the roster review, and I will talk to you then. Peace.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.